tonight. It's May 6, 2013, and we've lost Mark. I'm Brian Belita. I'm joined by Imran Khan.
Hi, I saw Iron Man. It was okay.
Matt Pierce.
I got to drive a Corvette this weekend.
And we're also joined by episode 31 of Nitro Beer Free to Play. Welcome to the show, episode 31 of Nitro Beer Free to Play.
It's silent because it hasn't really been made yet.
You're right. It won't have a voice. If we give it a voice, will it? I don't know. I got nothing. I saw Iron Man 3 too. I mean, I saw Iron Man 3 as well. Did everybody see Iron Man 3?
Nope.
No, that's right. You were driving your fancy car around. Well,
fancy.
The fancy car that you had rented.
You were Iron Man.
You were Iron Man.
Not quite.
I like that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you were doing. All I know is that you were on some sort of ship and you rented a Corvette, right?
I was at my brother's wedding, and since he doesn't listen to the show, I can admit that I was not looking forward to it. Because, yeah, partially because it's a 5-hour flight out to San Diego on the, you know, if the schedule goes 100% according to plan.
Yeah.
And then I was only going to be there 2 days.
Yeah.
So to make the most of it, I rented a Corvette.
That's a good deal. I think one of my favorite things is that I saw you're like, good news. I found out that there's a Starbucks in the lobby of the hotel I'm staying in. Better news. I found a Starbucks over 40 minutes away that I could drive to in this Corvette.
Yeah. The Starbucks at the hotel was closed anyway. So it turns out I had to go out. Didn't have to drive 40 miles up a mountain road, but whatever.
So speaking of Starbucks, I had some time off from work. Like, there was just nothing for me to do. So I went to a Starbucks with my computer because I figure I can just plug in somewhere, drink some coffee, you know, surf the net for a while. When I got there, it was like around 1 o'clock. Then I went out later for lunch and I came back. Same people were still there.
Yeah.
Still plugged into the wall until about 4:35.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there are people that just kind of go there, buy a cup of coffee, and use the internet.
So either Starbucks needs more plugs or people need to be less jerkish.
or internet service providers need to start charging less.
I'd not prefer that. Charging less.
Wait, you right, yes, no, charging less.
I thought you meant like, you know, they need to start charging you to be in Starbucks.
Oh no, wait, did I say they need to not start charging less?
No, I thought you said charge us, not less.
Oh, no. I mean they need to, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. Well, that's cool.
I'm okay with not paying as much.
You plan on seeing Iron Man 3, Matt?
Not anytime soon.
Okay.
I don't really get much chance to get out to the movies.
I went out this weekend because on Friday was my birthday. I took the day off, played some golf with my dad, and then Saturday I went over to some of my old college friends, and we saw that at like 9:30 in the morning because like three of us have babies. Well, two of us have babies, and the rest are just good because we're adults now.
Yeah.
And so we saw the, I guess it wasn't really IMAX, but it was the IMAX experience. I don't know what that means, but so we saw it. I enjoyed it.
Ben Kingsley fucking killed it.
Man, he really did. Given the trailers, I was pleasantly surprised. So that was cool. I enjoyed that. There were some things.
Like, still not as good as Iron Man 1, but way leagues better than Iron Man 2.
And seriously, I want to see an entire movie with Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark and the kid. I want to see an entire movie of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had surprisingly good chemistry.
Yeah, they did. It was neat. It was pretty cool. That's pretty much all I did this weekend. I didn't play many games. I was away from the internet most of the weekend, which is fine with me. So I don't even know if anything happened. What happened this weekend? Anything?
Nothing really.
No. I guess stuff happened today, like The Sims 4 was announced from EA.
Yeah, and
this is like all EA news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell, EA?
EA is the only one that did stuff today because they need to, you know, they need to get news out there that's not about them being rudderless.
Yeah. And firing a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Did they have like a big press release day?
I guess so.
Well, they announced that they got the deal for all Star Wars games for the next couple of years.
I don't know. I guess I haven't played a Star Wars game in a while.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that's kind of a mixed reaction. It's like, oh man, now EA is going to be making them. And then you have to sit back and be like, were there really a lot of great Star Wars games we're going to be missing now?
See, but to me, this does is say we're not going to get great Star Wars games any like
right.
at all.
The chance of
there
getting
was a chance,
a good Star Wars game is now,
This is them just saying, oh, we're just going to throw this in a Dead Space engine, or maybe there'll be a new code or this written by people you don't like.
Right. By, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what team it would be written by. The Mass Effect team.
They had a really dickish quote, which I'm not sure was intending to be dickish, but there was like, every developer dreams of being the one to develop for Star Wars, and EA just ensured that no other developer can.
Yeah. Pretty much. And I don't know. I guess that's why they fired a bunch of people, so they could free up some money to buy this. I don't know. Probably not. But so the, yeah, there's that. There's the whole Star Wars thing. And then there was that The Sims 4, which, of course, everyone started asking once they mentioned that there would be some sort of online integration if it would have any sort of offline mode. And I guess there's some Sims fan site that said they maybe, I don't know, I'm reading a quote here. The Sims 4 celebrates the heart and soul of the Sims themselves, giving players a deeper connection with the most expressive, surprising, and charming Sims ever in the single-player offline experience. Wow, all right, so they pretty much went right to it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Sims is, I'm guessing, way more popular than SimCity, so they kind of can't fuck this up.
Fair point.
And EA's going to have to address that in every game going forward, because otherwise that's the first question they're going to get from every reporter.
Yeah. But rightfully so. They kind of fucked up pretty hard on that.
Yeah. It's amazing how, I don't know, I guess this happens with most games, but I feel like there should still be more talking about SimCity, but it's just kind of, I'd be interested to see what kind of like the play numbers are for it. But it just seems like nobody's talking about it or playing it.
Well, I mean, there was the big kerfuffle when everyone got it, then nobody really got a chance to play it.
Yeah.
And I guess whoever's left are people who weren't bothered by the fact that it wasn't playable in the first place.
Yeah. Did we already talk about how Polygon upped their review score of it, right?
Yeah, okay. Back up to 6.5. With room for more, maybe.
With room for more, I don't even know.
I find it funny that they may as well just be picking the numbers out of a hat.
they don't very well might have been the Polygon guess score engine run by some WordPress plugin.
Just hit escape when the circle stops.
Right. It's just a spin the wheel, just like The Price is Right. Some guy, they actually at the Polygon offices, they just have one guy runs up, right, what's the score gonna be, and then he just runs up and spins the score and they figure out what it's gonna be like that.
The Price is Right, the big wheel thing? That thing has a pleasant sound.
It does.
I like listening to that.
I agree. I bet there's. I have no doubts that there's a 10-hour loop of just that sound on YouTube somewhere.
It also has the best failure horn. Basically, they killed it with sound design on that show.
They really do. They need to get the Price is Right sound design team to work on, I don't know, Left 4 Dead 3?
Video games.
Just throwing that out there. Or video games in general. Yeah.
So, we didn't talk about this last week, but Microsoft announced their Xbox event.
You're right.
For the 21st.
For Durango.
Yeah, the next generation of Xbox.
Yeah. What did they, was it just an announcement of the thing, or did they actually give any details?
They said there will be the next generation of Xbox. That's basically it.
Yeah.
It's going to be on TV as well, so.
Like how the last Xbox was introduced.
Oh, this one's not pre-recorded. I think it's a straight streaming press conference to, I think, Spike.
Oh, okay.
And also online.
Okay.
Like an E3 conference.
Right, right. And then, I can't remember, and Nintendo announced that they're not going to be doing a thing. Or at E3, right?
They're not having the traditional press conference.
Yeah, they still have the Kodak Theater, but that's not what they're going to be broadcasting.
Right.
Like, they're going to use that space to have a old school style press conference for the actual press.
Yeah. When is E3 this year? June
4th? No. 4th? Maybe.
It's usually, like, usually around the 6th or I don't know.
I think it's first or second week of June.
I'm looking forward to it. I kind of get caught up in the hubbub and the fun of it. It's fun to have a thing to kind of congregate around or chat around with people. So it'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to it, but I think it's going to be more of an E3 season this year. Just because so many people, well, you've got Microsoft and Nintendo and Sony already went ahead and revealed their next console. They're just kind of getting things out of the way ahead of E3 instead.
Well, it's funny because basically everyone tacitly admitted that E3 isn't, like, you can't just pack everything into that one show.
Yeah.
Because why else would Microsoft have a show literally less than a month before their conference?
Yeah.
Like, there's no point in doing that unless it just...
prep people for the conference.
Yeah.
Well, at least this way. I mean, okay, giving Microsoft the biggest benefit of the doubt here. This way, if there are games they have to reveal for Durango, people will actually give a shit about the games during E3 and not talk about just the hardware.
Just the hardware. That's a fair point.
If there are games. That's right. A huge...
Especially if it doesn't match up to whatever Sony's doing.
I'm trying to think what the Xbox 360 like exclusive were that they announced when that was at that E3, when that was irrelevant at E3. Was it Cameo? No?
Perfect Dark was their big FPS.
Yeah.
Then at the E3 following, they showed Gears of War.
Yeah, when the Xbox 360 was first revealed, it was revealed in that MTV event where you saw literally no gameplay footage throughout the entire thing.
I swear you saw Perfect Dark.
Do you like the killers? Because we got the killers. Also, you have me. How you doing?
Hello? It's Mark Bradshaw. Hello? We missed you. We were worried about you.
Yeah, I apologize. Hey, kids, it's Mark Bradshaw. Yeah, I apologize for that. Actually, my delay is video game related, strangely enough.
Did you get caught up playing Treasure Adventure game?
Not that. I was playing Punch Quest, and I missed my train stop.
Nice. Oh, man.
Yeah, so I'm here. Hey, how's everybody doing today?
That's awesome. That's a fair excuse. Well, welcome. We've been talking about EA and Star Wars
and Microsoft and the next Xbox.
Yes,
If I can weigh in, EA sucks. Can we? Okay.
Well, now they suck with Star Wars.
Yeah.
What happened with? I'm sorry. I'm coming this brand. I'm EA. Listeners. I am so sorry about all this. This is horribly unprofessional. I have literally cut off the entire day. What has happened?
They have exclusive rights to Star Wars games for the next few years.
That sucks.
But that's the thing. We're starting to figure out, does that really suck? Because were we going to get anything good
for Star Wars? It means we get to ignore, or not get to, but have to ignore Star Wars games the next few years.
Right. I was
like, okay. Maybe the best thing they'll do with it is they'll put a Star Wars game in the Dead Space thing.
I was trying to remember the last Star Wars game that I played. Okay,
am I allowed to be hyped for the idea of BioWare doing anything?
Yeah, they announced BioWare will be doing a Star Wars game.
I'm sorry, Brian.
But BioWare might be doing a Star Wars game based off the new movies that are coming out, which might be garbage.
They could be, but they could also be good.
So we really have no idea if this is good or bad news.
I have more confidence in the new movies just because they don't have George Lucas in them. As long as his hands are not globulously around the throat of Star Wars, I'm pretty okay.
Brian, I think you were trying to think of like the last Star Wars games you were interested in. I think the last Star Wars game anyone was interested in is like Lego Star Wars.
I may have played that over a friend, but I think the last one that I actually sunk time into was one of the Battlefront games, and that was in college when just a bunch of friends and I were dicking around playing the Battlefront game.
They had a trailer for the unreleased Battlefront 3 recently. It looked okay.
That could be neat. I mean, if they, you know, basically just take the Battlefield engine. What's that? Is that Frostbite, right?
Yeah, Frostbite 3 now, I think?
Yeah, I think it's that 3. What are they up to now? Who even knows anymore? So that could be interesting if they basically... I don't know. Do you think they would do a Battlefield-branded Star Wars game?
Yes, of course they will, because that's money. Just as they well, then again, you thought, oh, hey, a Star Wars-branded MMO, that's money. And that didn't actually work out very well at all. But no, you do that. You take Call of Duty and you put Star Wars inside of it. And, you know, sure.
I mean, just make Star Wars DLC for Battlefield. Yeah. Why? Every planet already looks like the sun is coming right up on it.
Right.
Now you get to do that twice with Tatooine. So you get two suns, different directions.
God, they really need to mess around with like low gravity and stuff. That would be neat.
But they won't. Well,
instead of a helicopter, you get in a TIE fighter and just crash it into a base.
Yeah. Or you get into a speeder bike and like 5 seconds later you crash into a wall because
If they make a Star Wars Battlefield or Battlefront game where you can like take the ship and fire the grappling hook and wrap it around the legs of an AT-AT, I'll play it.
Remember when that was like the one Star Wars idea everyone had? Like if you're on Hoth for any reason, that's what you had to do.
Well, the main reason for that was that it was like the biggest, like realistically placed like battle you could do in Star Wars. And it was that or Assault on the Death Star. And there's just so many like Assault on the Death Star games you can make. So eventually you had to do Hoth.
Yeah. It has to be trench run Hoth and maybe a speeder bike level. Yeah.
You know what never got enough love were the little twin pod like Sky City racers.
Yeah.
They need more of those. But
there need to be more levels there in general.
Yeah. Cloud City was a great place.
I'll take a new pod racer. I'll take a new Star Wars pod racer game.
What always amazed me is that there's this one part of Force Unleashed 1 that's amazing, and it's the very first level where you play as Vader just wrecking shit.
That's cool.
And they never capitalize on that because it's the only thing anybody wants
in
Star Wars.
So basically what we need is a futuristic Star Wars city, and it's basically Hulk Ultimate Destruction, but you're Vader.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. And let's make sure it's Vader and not some stupid like EA or like LucasArts branded angsty anti-hero dude.
What was that guy's name again?
Starkiller.
Leroy? No, it was like
Leroy Starkiller. Yes.
No, I think it was like Jacob Starkiller. Maybe
it was like Killeth. I don't know.
It was something awful, and I'm just very surprised he didn't have the word Darth in his name. I'm sure Darth showed up later on in the series though.
Well, I'm now basically Darth just thinking emo. About new Star Wars games, and I'm thinking of a new Tomb Raider style one.
Sure,
you have to like cut open a I can't remember the name of the things that get cut open and just tank you a tauntaun and you sleep inside. And so there's like this really intense, you know, where you take your lightsaber and you're cutting open the tauntaun.
There's just a lot of different things you can do really great in Star Wars with a video game that no one. That people have tried and have failed horribly, like the
and EA won't be doing any of them.
No, and they won't because they're just going to do very safe things that are going to make the shareholders happy. The best I think they could think of was someone mentioned a Dead Space team.
Just put Star Wars in a Dead Space mold.
Sure,
you're done.
Sure,
bring back Podracer.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Criterion, they can do a really good pod racer. It's really fast and ready.
DJ Atomica here. Welcome to Tatooine. Yeah. If you're over,
except in Star Wars, it'd be DJ Atomica with just two heads that talk at each other.
Yeah, right. Because it would just be this completely self-contained conversations amongst himself. So if you're over playing the cantina, make sure you check out the sweet ramp.
I've been playing SSX, which I'll get into later, but the very first thing you hear is DJ Atomica announcing himself, and I'm like, God damn it, why? Why are you here?
That's the game that killed my PS3.
Was that... does EA still do the EA track stuff?
Yes.
Okay. That's like what killed, like... Unless it's like a fantasy setting or like sci-fi setting, I can't deal with an EA game because it always has the EA track shit in it. Even like the Criterion Racers, I can't deal with their soundtracks.
Is that anything like Rift Trax?
No, it's their...
their music, yeah.
The music they license. Yeah. But, like, the EA presentation has gotten so grating. It's always just this person talking to you in a semi-casual way while low-budget TV graphics appear on screen. Yeah.
Everything feels the same. And I think they got the idea from the Codemasters Dirt games. And, like, everybody's just been copying that same mold. And it's over-polished, and everything feels the same and generic.
It's like one peg above the narrator just saying, what's up, brah?
Yeah. It's maybe a little too casual.
I apologize for the high-pitched screaming. My son is just having a ball tonight. Anyways, go on.
Yeah, the casual way that they refer to you in those sorts of games, it's like sometimes they're just a little too laid back. You're like, you know, maybe you should be as interested in this game as you want me to be interested in this game.
Yeah.
Also, I don't care.
I was like, don't talk to me like you know me. You don't know me.
Also, I'm not your friend. I'm really not.
I'm not your friend.
Cut the script in half and tell me what the fuck you want me to do. Yeah. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
Or don't tell me what the fuck you want me to do.
Let also, I don't need these explanations for SSX. It's a fucking mountain. Yeah. I know how to go down it. Gravity was my friend.
Pretty much just one way to go. It's down.
The worst is in Forza Horizon, where you have the radio stations where the DJs give you just random information. And then you have people who call you, I guess, on a CB. Because apparently you have a CB.
Sure. I'm going to assume this is a thing in street races. So you have a CB. Yeah. Sure.
But there are times when it glitches out. So you have somebody saying something important on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then two different people talking over each other on the CB You have no idea what the fuck is going on, but they're apparently telling you where to go next.
You know, I hate to make this argument because the Nintendo people made this argument for years, but maybe we don't need as much voice acting as we have. And maybe that part of that expense is why games can't make profits anymore. Maybe we don't need this much voice acting.
You don't have to go all the way over to what the Nintendo side of that argument is and have Zelda games where no one ever talks.
Yeah, that's it.
You can certainly hit a middle ground where there is enough voice acting to make an interesting world, but you're also not sitting there for 10 minutes waiting for this person to shut up so you can hit A.
Right.
Then the flip side is like Dishonored, where they have all these, they have celebrities, basically, people who they're actually playing up in marketing as being in this game that have like a combined 10 lines.
Yeah. People they paid a lot of money for, unless they just owe hella favors.
Yeah.
There's a good one for this is actually The Last Story, where there's plenty of voice acting, but a lot of it's really optional. Like, if you just run off into the next area, everyone shuts up and you go to the next area. They don't sit there having a conversation that you can't skip, tales of whatever.
One thing that kills me is where there are areas where, you know, that there's a line of dialogue or a conversation that's scripted when you hit a certain point, but you can actually be too fast through that area, and then it just either cuts out or skips to the next one. That's one thing that really irks me.
That's really common in The Last Story, but after doing that once or twice, you realize that that's by design. If you
The alternative is gears walking, which is also really
shitty. Is also really, really annoying. So I mean, I realize that happens, I usually end up, okay, I guess I'll just kind of stroll and take my time in this area.
Oh, and the other reason it works out in The Last Story is that it's all flavor text. None of that stuff that you can skip accidentally actually matters in any way. It's just there to add atmosphere.
I want
to
say Max Payne 3 did that.
But that would require people playing Max Payne 3 and remembering it.
I played Max Payne 3.
Yeah, you're the only one
playing. Anyways,
did you guys see the GTA 5 trailers?
I did.
No.
Right, you were talking about your, I can't remember how you phrased it, but yeah, you were talking about your gaming litmus test, right?
Not really a litmus test. It was that I'm not excited by GTA anymore, and just seeing those trailers, it's like, meh.
What was it that did this? Was it Red Dead, or was just GTA 4?
It was, part of it was GTA 4 in that I remember exactly the mission that you took a mission from the, I want to say she was a black lady or a Hispanic lady, she was a drug dealer, or something like that, and she had you go across town and take out these other drug dealers, and it's a fairly, I don't know if I would say difficult, but it was difficult for me because I kept getting killed, and each time I got killed, I started all the way back at her apartment.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it was just like, even if it's got fixed, I am past this idea.
I would say that's more of a fault of the place in the gaming cycle that game was made in, because it still had some of the really dumb PS2 stuff where they didn't checkpoint correctly.
Yeah, but I mean, at a certain point you realize what they're asking me to do doesn't jive with how exciting they think this is.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they're asking me to drive across town to shoot 5 guys and then run away from police, because that's what you always do.
Right.
Well, I mean, so for me, with the new trailer, and I guess with any GTA announcement, really, I mean, I'm initially mostly excited with the prospect of having beaten the game, having access to a bunch of weapons and guns, and maybe loading up, you know, some multiplayer with a friend and just causing as much chaos and wacky, random bug stunt, you know, ragdoll flying, jumping out of cars, random stunt shit that I can.
And the problem with that is, and I can understand that, and that is certainly fun. The thing is, since GTA 4 came out, there have been like a half dozen games that do that same thing, but do it so much better because they fully embrace the insanity.
I don't know that they do it better, but they do it differently. I mean, I assume you're referring to like Just Cause 2.
Just Cause 2, I would say Red Faction, Guerrilla, definitely Saints Row the Third.
Sure. I mean, they all do that differently. With GTA, it's a different experience. I mean, with Just Cause 2 is super way over the top. You know, you have this grappling hook, you can grab onto planes and shit. With Red Faction Guerrilla, you know, you can just destroy and break through all the shit. And GTA has a different style of doing that sort of thing, which I really enjoy.
I think the problem is I don't have the patience for something self-serious anymore, like that kind of open world game. At some point, I'm going to get bored driving and watching your cutscene movie.
Yeah,
I would hope that that's again they've matured since then. I want to say that it's been a while. But I want to say that the storytelling in it's basically the same story every time. But I want to say storytelling in Red Dead was better than the storytelling in GTA.
But at this point, I'm not even concerned about the style of storytelling in general. It's just that there's so much fucking story.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, like, the trailers have done nothing to dissuade me of this, because all they've been is, look at these characters and all these cutscenes. Isn't our mocap amazing?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like
that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's it's going to be a lot of the same story. You know, you're going to shoot some stuff. You're going to have run-ins with various people, like drug dealers and bad dudes. Yeah. And, it's the storytelling is good. I know it's going to be well done, and that there's going to be some tense moments, and it's going to be wacky and crazy. And I kind of embrace and look forward to that.
So yeah, I think if video games want to actually start copying Hollywood, what they need to start copying is not explosions and set pieces. It's how to make us give a shit about the characters.
Right.
Not all of them know how to do that.
They want to make Michael Mann movies, but they kind of, I don't know exactly how to explain it. I like Rockstar's stories. I like Rockstar's storytelling, but I think they need to make their mind if they want to make a game or make a movie. You know? Because it feels like they want to do movies.
So
it also needs to be consistent with the actual game world. Like, I do not believe if the story of GTA 4 is Nico Bellic says he wants to get out, but is actually just a dyed-in-the-wool murderer and can't, like, even if he got out of it, he'd still want to murder, then I understand that. But what they're showing me is Nico Bellic wants to get out and stop murdering people. Meanwhile,
he's not taking like this enormous stockpile of money, just buying a car and going to like Kansas or something and away from like the murderers that keep having him murder other people.
Yeah. To make it big in America for GTA 4 was to just kill everybody else.
Nico, my cousin.
Yeah, that's it. Like reading GTA 5 previews, that's what leapt out to me, is that every preview started with, you can do this and this, and you can actually go bowling and all that stuff. And I'm like, if you can make this exact same laundry list for GTA 4, and that game eventually got boring as hell.
Yeah, I always thought that Rockstar needs to have their own vision, because a GTA 5 that tries to be Saints Row 3 isn't GTA anymore. But after playing like Sleepy Dogs, like, this game does everything GTA 5 wanted to do, and if for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because it's later in the cycle and they knew more stuff about like making video games, but it does it better. Aside from the storytelling, just gameplay and world wise, it does it better. So they have to step it up now.
Well, speaking of going back to some of our last two points of dialogue in games and slimming down a dialogue and making people give a shit about a character. Has everyone here played Shadow of the Colossus?
Yes.
Nope. Yeah.
No.
You should.
Okay.
You need to.
Mark or Imran, did either of you read that article on Eurogamer, the quest for the Shadow of the Colossus' last big secret?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
They were looking for that like one.
Yeah. There's this, you know, and I didn't even think about this. There's this, you know, community. I suppose it probably exists for every game, but it was an article about the, you know, community of people who play a bunch of Shadow of the Colossus, and they kind of, you know, go around finding hidden messages, read into stuff a lot, and find some things, like you could jump off a cliff and grab onto a bunch of seagulls and they drift you somewhere, and how they were kind of trying to find possibly a big hidden secret that the developers had put into Shadow of the Colossus. But to the other point was that that's a game where is there any dialogue? I guess there's some.
There's dialogue, but the intro and at the end, guys talk about each other.
Yeah, but like the main character, there's no dialogue there. Anything he does, there's no dialogue. They make you feel very intimate with the character and what he's trying to do, and like he's caught up in something bigger than him.
I suppose in a way, it is maybe easier to make someone give a shit about a character with no dialogue than it is using dialogue.
I think it's maybe a difference in storytelling between like Japanese devs and American devs. That may just be entirely because of the language barrier.
Right.
It's because they have to try harder to get their emotions and what they feel Americans.
I think not only that, but I'm thinking about like Half-Life. You know, Gordon Freeman doesn't talk.
Yeah.
And I don't.
And now if you try to make that same game, you're kind of like shut down because, you can't do the silent protagonist anymore because it's been overdone.
Right. But I think if there's a, you have a character, if you're playing a character that doesn't talk, you kind of maybe put yourself in their shoes more because you're not being spoon-fed what they're saying, and therefore, so
Well, I mean, the difference to me is if people are talking to your character and they're getting responses that, like, you really should be hearing, then I think that throws me out of it.
That's weird, yeah. But I will say that you can look at the difference between the BioShock games. It's like you, you have your character in BioShock 1 and then you have Booker. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I did like the characterization in BioShock, but I felt a lot closer to Booker than I did to my character in BioShock. But that might be
Booker's weird Elizabeth. Because, like, Booker needs to talk to Elizabeth to make that relationship work. Right. If you didn't have, if Booker was silent and Elizabeth talked, it wouldn't be effective. But on the other hand, every time Booker's alone and he's talking to himself, it's always stupid.
I just think that, okay, as he has a rumbling internal monologue, some people just have that. Some people just talk to themselves.
But I mean, some people talk, like, there's a difference in talking to yourself. Like, it, like when he's about to throw the baseball at Fink, if you make that choice, he says, well, take this, you son of a... And that makes sense. Right. That's something he should say to himself.
Right. But not if he's trying to attract attention.
But at the very beginning of the game, when you you take off the locks from the lighthouse and you go look at the chair, in your mind, you think, okay, chair's there, it just opened, gotta sit on that. Right. You don't even, like, say that out loud. Those words don't form in your head. Right. You just know, chair, go sit. That concept is obvious. Right. Booker says that out loud.
Right.
Yeah.
To nobody.
I guess maybe it's a different sort of attachment you get to the character. I'm thinking about Vessel, which was one of the games on my top 10 list from last year, or my top list. And he doesn't say anything. There's I don't think he has any dialogue in that game. There might be some, again, just basic in the beginning, maybe at the end. But for the most part, you're playing him, and there are some notes that you read in this journal, in this scientific journal. And man, the end of that game hit me hard. And but again, it's a different kind of attachment you get to that character. I'm trying to think of characters from games that had a fair amount of dialogue that I felt that way about, or felt, you know, kind of really attached to or emotional towards for whatever happened at the end, surely some sort of tragedy.
Right. You know, games that don't do this very well are like the Bethesda games. I mean, you kind of don't, you kind of have a silent protagonist and, like, your guy's never voiced for obvious reasons, but they always have a ton of dialogue to them. And, like, you get to make a lot of the choices, but I just never really feel like any of those people you play in Bethesda games have an ounce of personality to them.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's
you're always on a rail in those games, though, anyway. Yeah. Like, you can do whatever you want, but ultimately, like, Fallout 3, as the Vault Kid, it doesn't matter if you're the most murderous sociopath in the world or the hero of the Wastelands. Yeah. You're, at the end of the day, you still get along with your father, and you're still going to do the work he wants you to do.
Well, yeah, that was just a bad story, but yeah.
And in Mass Effect, you always have access to the same dialogue options. Like, if in the middle of the game you decide to be good, then you can do that, which I guess is good to have that option. But I'd like to see a game where as you start deciding your personality, choices get kind of chipped away from you.
Because you feel schizophrenic otherwise, you know?
Right. Because I'm sitting there, I'm playing this character, and I kind of know how I'll answer a question. You know, and let's say I'm a big jackass, and, you know, I'm sitting there and I see the option for fuck you. And right below it, I see, hey, nice to meet you. Let me buy you a drink. And that kind of, I guess, removes you from the element a little bit.
In the one of the final confrontations of Mass Effect 3, you can get the villain to do a certain thing if you've been entirely Renegade or entirely Paragon, which that seems like a weird way to like reward people.
Yeah,
it's basically you've been hitting up right or up left or down left, down right. Sorry, this entire time.
Congratulations.
You've basically made no value judgment to the entire series. Good for you. Here's your special ending.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, which is a weird thing for me to complain about because I was entirely Paragon and I got to do that thing. But it's just like, there should have been a path that wasn't just 100% X or Y.
Right. There should have been gradients to it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been possible to just have the 100% Paragon option and the 100% Renegade option available with every single dialogue choice.
50 Shades of Shepherd?
Maybe this is a hard thing to do, but you should be rewarded for making your character ethically consistent as opposed to, you know, a hard, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like a hard ideal.
Yeah.
Right?
And, well, like with my, you know, Shepard, and when I was playing Mass Effect, you know, I was for the most part Paragon, but if there was someone I really didn't like, I would flip in the bird and punch him in the face.
Right.
Like, is it Paragon to kill one guy that's going to kill a bunch more people, or is, you know, that would be the renegade option usually.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this guy's going to kill a bunch of people, so shoot him. But the Paragon option is always going to be just let him live and take him into custody, and maybe he'll be back later. Who knows?
But then again, going back to the problem with cost of all this, if you try that, and because it's EA and BioWare, they're going to voice every single one of those options, then the budget just balloons. So
yeah.
No, but go on.
I mean, ideally, you know, if there's decisions that lie in the middle, they shouldn't be nothing. They should be plus one this, plus one that.
Yeah, they should actually.
You should have multiple bars to fill up.
But in that case, it has to be a text game. It has to be text, but like do a text dialogue. You can't have like voice dialogue if you do that.
I mean, you can. It would just be ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
Which, if they want to make ridiculously expensive games, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Well, at least it would be ridiculously expensive for the right reasons.
Yeah. Not because you hired Guy Pearce.
Just say five words.
Just a couple. All right, let's take a break. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about Literous Book Club Treasure Adventure Game.
All right.
Awesome.
Welcome to the segment of Nitro Beard Free to Play, in which we review grocery stores
in the greater Manhattan area, and they all suck.
Greater Manhattan area.
I find it funny whenever you hear someone talk about a Piggly Wiggly. You're just like, that's the funniest, stupid grocery store name. It's like Trader Joe's isn't really all that great of a name either.
I just say
Piggly Wiggly. I've never heard of a Piggly Wiggly.
You've
grocery
never
store.
Heard of a Piggly?
They're bigger
Wiggly?
In the South.
No, yeah, they are.
They
am
are.
I weird?
Jesus Christ. Is your wife at war with your child?
Pretty much. I think most bedtime routine is a battle. Well, not really. It's just fun. It's mostly fun.
Even your child approves of the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
I would say, though, that there are no great, like, grocery store names, because, like, can't deal with Food Lion or Piggly Wiggly or...
ABC ruined them.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but there's like this famous quote from like the wife of the owner of, I think it's Food Lion.
Yeah.
Where she like somebody like tried to track down where she shops, and then she just came right over to the reporters like, I shop at the Piggly Wiggly because it's closer. but it's like, yeah, that's what everyone else does.
Right.
You shop at the local grocery store. You don't go out of your way to find one.
Which in most areas that aren't cities is almost always a Walmart.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Not that they have great food.
I mean, it's the closest grocery. I think it ran out every other grocery pretty much. So
yeah,
it's by default the closest grocery.
So Treasure Adventure Game.
Yeah.
The Walmart of video games.
Pretty much. Well, actually, that is sort of the story of the game. It's very kind of anti-corporate. I mean, isn't the company is called Globocorp? yeah. So we played. How far did you guys each get in Treasure Adventure Game?
I got the actual sale.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I stopped.
That's just about where I got to, because I didn't bring a computer with me on vacation, stupidly.
So I got the part where you get the sale.
Yeah.
So okay. Basically, we're up to the sale.
We're 12% into the game. Yes.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, it's a big game. It's a really big game.
It really is. It's like whenever you think, oh, just like this little 2D thing is very simplistic, and like everywhere you go, there's like weird things that it's obvious that you're going to come back later to and like turn on or have something
to
activate.
I mean, it's essentially a Metroidvania.
It reminded me a lot of Wind Waker, actually.
Yes.
Because
boat, but...
Boat and tone and, you know, this idea of you're going up to this grand adventure and you're just sort of building up to that.
Yeah. There's a site that I found out about called howlongtobeat.com, which basically gives an average rundown of people's times and how long it took to beat games. And the average time for, I don't know, I guess they say main story and extras is 17 hours. Jeez. I guess just the main is like 11 hours, so average combined is 14 hours.
I accepted, like, you know, it's a free indie game, so I said maybe 2 or 3.
Yeah, sure. No, it's huge. I mean, it's the guy spent what's his name, Orlando something. Anyways, Stephen Orlando, sorry. I guess he spent like 2 years working on it. So kind of a labor of love, I guess.
Yeah, I'm always impressed by these little tiny indie games and try to compare them. It's like, okay, how would this have fared actually back in like the NES or SNES era? And like this thing would have been pretty, like, very well regarded if you put it out on the SNES, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it would have held its own against any adventure game from that era.
I think to some extent it still does even today.
Well, I mean if, yes, just if you remove it from that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it comes off as very amateurish, I mean, for obvious reasons. Yeah.
I don't know if it comes off...
God damn that UI. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, if you hit escape to get to the menu, yeah, and hitting escape again will take you to the title screen.
Yeah.
I never had an issue with that, because I use the menu button on my joystick, which, you know, that'll make Mark mad, because I got my joystick to work first try.
How? Yeah, I didn't.
How? I don't remember wrestling too much.
I plugged it in, and it worked.
What kind of magical joystick do you have? What,
an Afterglow PS3 controller?
Oh God, I hate you so much.
If I go to the control map, like if it doesn't work by default, and I go to the control mapping and I hit up and it doesn't work, then that's the most work I'm willing to put towards making the controller work.
Well, up doesn't work because it just uses your joystick X and Y no matter what. Like there's no way to change that part. The only parts you can remap are the buttons.
Hmm.
Huh.
But once you remap the buttons, it works great.
Well, I hope you guys will continue to play it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Maybe,
yeah,
because just so you know, later on you get a cannon for your boat. So
I can shoot these damn fish.
You can shoot the damn fish, and then there are sharks, and there are I think there might be one or two seafaring battles.
I spent a good 4 minutes trying to like hook a fish.
Yeah,
I would say even possible because whenever we're trying, like, I could jump, but I couldn't like use the hook. And yeah,
it doesn't
and
work.
And then you get like,
or at least get hit or something.
You get like a scuba diving suit, and there are some secrets you can find and stuff way.
So I didn't like that. So like stuff is time dependent.
Right. That was. I mean, it's neat, but I guess there at times it can be annoying. Like there's the pyramid that's kind of the day night thing.
Right.
Yeah. I like some of the, like, it's cool, you know, sailing and landing on an island and you see like a red sun in the background.
Right.
And it's nice little bit of imagery, but it's like, oh, I need to get to this 9-to-5 store and I can't proceed until I do, but it's nighttime. So I guess I'll just sit here for an hour.
Yeah. That's the only problem. I think
that's what I did because I played some of it at work. I was like, okay, I'll just alt tab, work on some stuff, go do some other stuff while I wait for it to be the time. And more often than not, I'd miss it and have to wait for it to come around again.
Well, the big problem with that is that, one, you can't just like hit an alarm clock. Maybe there's an alarm clock later in the game where you can just speed time along. But there's like, I can understand having that kind of mechanic if there's like a crafting mechanic in the game or anything like that. But
or anything to do at night, really.
Yeah. But there's not. I mean, either you're adventuring in this game or you're doing nothing. And if, like, you decide, well, I'm going to go have an adventure while I wait for the general store open. And by the time you get back, it's probably going to be that exact same time again. Well, chances not.
I mean, I guess it gives them a way to do different things in the same area.
Yeah.
Which is good for, I mean, a game that's already big.
Yeah.
It definitely didn't need more added onto it.
I respect that unity of vision that guy thought, okay, it's going to have a day night cycle. It's going to mean something. And, you know, even if it is ultimately a pain in the ass, this is my game. I don't have to answer anybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's a solid piece of design. I mean, overall, just from everything. And they're remaking it now. And I think that may make some people pick it up who maybe were turned off by the look of it.
Are they going to keep? Because that's the thing I found charming was its look. Like,
yes, that's my thing exactly.
Like, I mean,
it still looks kind of charming. It's now kind of like I'm trying to equate it to something. You know, I guess more high-res sprites. Kind of, it looks more hand-drawn than it does pixel art.
Xbox Live Shadow of the... No, Symphony of the Night. That's what you don't need.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure,
right. Yeah. So it's being remade. I don't know if it's still going to be free.
He needs to make some money off this. I mean, if he's...
I was going to say, I mean, if there's one thing to say about it, for the price of admission, it is definitely, definitely, definitely worth it.
Well, like I said... You could easily charge like full like cartridge video game price for this back in the day.
Oh, I would absolutely,
yeah,
buy it for that.
Is it on Greenlight or anything? Or
I don't know. They might be trying to put the new version up on Greenlight.
I ask you because you are the Greenlight expert,
having rated everything. I don't remember coming upon it, so I'm not sure. It's a good question.
How far did you get, Brian, in the game?
I beat the game.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, not this most recent time, kind of replaying it, but the first time I played it, I played it all the way through, beat it. I think I may have missed one or two secrets, but I beat it and pretty much, you know, went around, got as many of the secrets as I could figure out and stuff. I didn't really want to look stuff up, kind of try to figure it out for myself.
Now let me ask you guys, when you're playing, there's a bunch of like locked doors. Now is there a separate key for each locked door, and you just have to guess which key did what, or does like everything unlock at once, or?
I can't remember. I think you do find keys throughout the game, okay, or they're unlocked for various quests, or you know, at different times of days. I mean, some of the puzzles are really hard. I remember racking my brain trying to figure some things out for a really long time until I eventually just kind of give up. But
there's a lot of like really creative, like just sliding block puzzles in like this early part of the game that you're trying to figure out. I really respect.
Yeah, no, and those kind of go on. I mean, there's a lot of good kind of cleverly hidden stuff. You know, just like, oh, I can jump across the sills of these windows and I can find this secret area, or I can access this, you know, the Global Corps headquarters in a different way.
I would say I really like the fact that, you know, a lot of the stuff when you're first playing through, you're trying to like master the game, it's like, oh, this jumping, this platforming section right here, it seems kind of arbitrary, until you realize, no, actually, it's actually pixel perfect. You just need to make sure you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a hard time like grabbing onto the very edges of platforms occasionally.
Yeah, there are some times where I'd run into that too. Because yeah, you're right. It is very pixel perfect. If you don't do the highest possible jump and the furthest possible jump that you can do, you won't make a thing.
Especially with like the bouncy pads and the fans, like the air current stuff, sure, that can get kind of frustrating if you don't like hit it exactly right, because you'll just keep being just like a pixel short. It's like just enormously frustrating because you're doing it. If I'm doing it right, should I be here at all? Or oh no, it worked this time. I hope it works the next time. It probably won't.
And it has some like enemies that like there was this gray slime thing that the second it sees you, it just rushes at you.
Yep.
I don't feel like the mechanics were enough that if I didn't see that, if it's already started moving by the time I see it, I'm pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize for the longest time. I can't remember when it actually dawned on me that the kid you're playing as has a hook arm. Like I thought he was just swinging a scythe.
Really?
Oh, so did I.
Oh,
I thought it was just a hook.
Nope.
That's depressing.
That's kind of sad.
It is sort of sad.
Wow.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially when you're looking at it just kind of, you know, in the low-res kind of pixel art style, it does just kind of look like he's swinging the scythe. He's got a hook arm.
This does make sense now, because everyone else just hangs out their houses. He's the only guy who's able to navigate all these damn platforms.
His hook arm.
Yeah, he's the only adventurer. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And actually...
Except his grandfather somehow got up the top of that mountain.
That dude is crazy.
At the very beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got some platforming skills. Yeah. And the music in the game is fantastic. I think it might be on Bandcamp, but you should definitely give it a listen, because it's really good.
Yeah, very, very charming music. And that's very chip-tuning.
Yeah.
There are a couple of times I had issues with the music, but it was mostly because something glitched out and you'd have the two songs, like the one for the inside of the cave and the one for nighttime playing at the same time.
Oh, that's that can be frustrating.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Well, there was that one time DJ Atomica popped on and was like, hey there, seafarers.
Damn it!
Scout the pyramid at midnight.
DJ Atomica, not again.
Yeah.
Where are you even coming from?
There are some, and I know Mark has wrestled with kind of playing it with the keyboard, and the one qualm I can remember actually having with kind of the platforming and jumping around mechanics is at one point you get this magic jar, and you can capture like wind, and then basically use it, you know, as like a rocket jump to boost yourself upwards. And the controls are as such, and this might have been a keyboard issue that you had to be very, very deliberate. It was easy to blow yourself the wrong way, or like if you were running and were already holding the jar in the wrong direction, right, it would stay in that direction after you jump. So that might have been a keyboard thing. That might have just been an overall control aiming thing. But that's the one problem I remember having.
The one big problem I had with the controls are the parrot controls. Because that guy, he doesn't have like gradients. He's fucking binary. You hit the jump button, he fucking goes up. Or you hit right, he fucking goes right.
The parrot basically controls like the old, helicopter tunnel games, where you would click it to go up and then let go and you drop down. Click to go up, drop to let go.
It's like my immediate comparison was, this feels a lot like an Atari game.
Yeah.
Which isn't so bad, but this guy really likes spikes. And he puts them everywhere. Like this is
especially in that the kind of the museum, the Ocean Museum temple area that you work your way through. Although I don't know that you control your parrot at any point in that kind of temple museum area once you start going down into it.
Well, there was this one area very early in the game where you have to like pick up this stone, and then you have to navigate. Well, first you have to navigate through this pit full of spikes and also wind.
In that cave.
And then you have to pick up the rock and then go through the other side, which is also filled up with spikes and also creatures that are spikes and that move.
Those
down the other side again.
Yeah. Those probably could have been done maybe a little better. I don't know.
It would have been better if like he gets hit and then he immediately flies back to you, which okay, fine, but you just send him back out again. So you know you're going to have to go back out there, you stupid parrot. Why are you coming back here? Be a man, parrot. Take your spike.
Be a man, parrot.
So anybody else get a real Fez vibe from like the entire like art style and the music?
From the art, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how much Phil Fish looked at this game before I guess he did a lot of looking at this game while making his game. But I wonder how much of that actually influenced him. Because everything about like the seaside towns, the architecture there, the islands, the stuff going on in the background, it seems very Fez-like.
I don't know. I have not picked up Fez yet, even though it is on Steam now. I will. Yeah. No, I'm planning on it at some point.
I wouldn't say you need to.
Well, I want to for sure.
Yeah. It's one of those things you need to experience, whether you wind up liking it or not.
I'm just saying, Phil Fish is kind of a dick.
Yes.
Well, that aside, I don't know. I guess I kind of equate this to, there are people who, maybe won't go see a George Clooney movie because he cheated on his wife or something. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't just enjoy the movie. It's a separate thing. So, right. Yeah, sure.
But George Clooney is so nice.
He is so nice. He's so handsome.
I mean, I wouldn't see a Roman Polanski movie. I don't want to directly compare Phil Fish being a dick to, Roman Polanski raping a little girl. But there are lines I would draw where I would not, help fund this thing.
Yeah.
Not to continue not talking about Treasure Adventure Game, but I haven't seen like a Tom Cruise movie since.
Well, that's because all his movies are terrible.
Well, since Minority Report, really.
And there are different hats in the game.
Of course, there's hats. Yeah.
There are.
Okay, so can we, on the subject of hats, they're indie game developers. Stop it with the hats. There's this game, and then there's Punch Quest. And just nothing.
TF2 started it all, man.
Yeah.
I feel like they should just go all the way with it, and every game should have hats. Like, Amnesia should just have hats that have, no explanation, but you can put them on, and, no one else can see it. It's a first-person game, so you just you have the personal knowledge that you're wearing a bitching hat.
I mean, games have been doing aesthetic things that you can, customize your character for a while.
I have no problem with that. Just, hats.
The big problem, I think, is that they don't have enough good hats. Like, every game should have the Robin Hood hat.
And the hats should do things.
Yeah.
At what point would I not wear the paper crown hat is my question in this game. Why would I ever wear
the paper?
What if you got, a giant Texan hat?
What's that?
What if you got a giant Texan hat?
I wouldn't wear that. I'm not Texan. Screw that.
Well, actually, no, the hats in this game do something, because I think you get a pair of mouse ears at some point, which have an effect on, these tiny little mouse people that you meet. So I think they do actually have various effects.
So I know there's a, they seem like there are side quests in this game, but there when are. I was, okay, well, I would go to the, to this one mouse early in the game and she's, and he tells you, my mouse friend over here is very sick with that mouse sickness. Yeah. Yes. Could you go to the mouse doctor? We go to the mouse doctor, but she wants too many, I don't know, too much cheese. We can't afford it or whatever. Can you help us out? And yeah. There's no like option to like select it, so I guess you're just now on this quest.
Well, it's not so much that you're on it, but you just you. I mean, it's always open. I mean, you never really have a quest list in the game.
It's just stuff you can do.
Right.
Okay.
Which is nice. I enjoy not having, you know, an objective arrow pointing me exactly where I need to go.
Even though there's
I just found that frustrating because I found the mouse doctor. And the mouse doctor didn't give you a damn thing.
Yeah.
Right. I will say that I remember this one specifically. And like you get that, you know, you kind of see that quest early on, and it's not for a while that you actually are able to do anything about it.
Well, then again, like all her like her little like patients and like her little mouse doctor's clinic, I say, well, she probably can't help us anywhere. We're probably going to die regardless. So I guess it didn't really matter.
There are occasionally some pretty heavy
overtones
in the game, or undertones, overtones, tones, overtones.
vibes. Like the worm people, they're just very depressed.
Yeah, worms. They're like the Elcor from Mass Effect.
Yeah, but it only makes sense because they're worms. It's like, well, guys, you know what? Maybe you should stop thinking about so much stuff because at the end of the day, you're worms. So
yeah,
not to be wormist and all, but yeah,
such a wormist.
I know.
No, but it's cool.
I just keep thinking of the Gears of War thing. Like they're destroying Jacinto with a giant worm. Just said completely seriously.
That's the great thing about it. It's like all the ridiculous things in Gears of War franchise are said completely deadpan, completely seriously.
Oh, right. So actually, I think if you are trying to advance the time to like get to a certain thing or a quest or something, I think if you hit a save point, it either will always make it morning or will like advance it, you know, X hours.
Okay.
So you can give that a try. I want to say it does that, but I'm not 100% sure.
I always there are all no swords like whenever there's a save point, there's usually like hammocks or a bed nearby, but they don't do anything either.
Right. I think it just shows that hey, this is your save point. This is where you sleep and you save.
Yeah. Although it's kind of funny when you go to the island with the museum on it, and like they got those two girls there. It's I hope the museum opens up soon, but it's closed. And you go back and like you pick up whatever part you need to open up the door, and you get there and the door's open, and they're still sitting there saying the same thing. It's like it's open. You can.
Well, it's because you have exclusive access. You have an all access badge.
I see. I got the membership. Okay.
The badge is your hook arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just trying to avoid you.
This is possible.
If you saw a guy with a hook arm just like breaking into museums, would you just be like, "No, it's fine. You go ahead. Yeah, we're good here."
Well, there's also like probably a dearth of available bachelors on that island, so I mean, I don't think they should be so, you know, it's hard to get.
You're probably right. The game is huge.
Yeah.
For kind of an independent free indie game, it does enough different stuff and kind of, you know, there's a good sense of progression as you kind of find these maps for the different islands and stuff and the different items and powers and whatnot that you unlock. So it's done really well. It's a solid game.
Yeah.
And I think everyone should play it.
I really respect that the one man just leaped obvious labor of love. It's like probably this thing will probably never make him a dime, but this is what he wants to do. And it's clearly what he wants to do. And for nothing else, everybody needs to play it just to get a glimpse into, you know, this is his life's work. This is his masterwork.
So, it's a singular vision, which you don't really see in video games that often.
Right. So
I could never do this. So.
The upmake/reimagining is called Treasure Adventure World. And I don't know if they're adding much stuff, but it's definitely an upgraded kind of art style.
And then there was
Treasure. Bring it up if it's ever on Greenlight or something.
Yeah, he should really toss it up there or something. Although he might just, be giving it away for free again.
And then there was the much criticized Treasure Adventure City in the middle there that no one wants to talk about.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, guys doing the Batman Arkham.
I got it.
Yeah, see, Emron got it.
You know, come to think of it, I think it actually only might have been when they announced Treasure Adventure World when I saw this kind of, you know, high-res drawing of the main character that I realized that he had a hook arm.
They said it, like, right off the bat.
Oh, okay.
Maybe if I had a hook arm too. Like you, I'd climb in that cave.
Well, I assume he just had, like, had a hook arm thing that like he wears on his arm. It's a hook. I didn't.
His dead wife is controlling it.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. So that's cool. Well, yeah. Hopefully you guys will finish it up. And,
all right. Next up is Mark.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you have a game in mind? Or?
I kind of have a game in mind. I don't know if I want to announce it like live and everything because I need to make sure like we all have access to it.
Okay. We'll make the announcement
okay.
off the Twitter and Facebook and stuff once you decide. But Mark Bradshaw is next, which means we're probably going to be playing
Punch Quest.
Punch Quest.
Missing our train stops.
In a huge twist, it's actually Bioshock Infinite. We're just going to play Bioshock Infinite. Doesn't want to play that.
I like how everyone has the exact same reaction to the ending. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's just this quiet contemplation of like, huh.
Yeah. Okay. You just want to be alone for a while and just realize how fucked up everything is.
Yeah.
Does Mad World play at the end of it?
It should. It really should. But better music actually plays it.
Do, 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 do.
Sir, please stop conflating.
Sorry.
Bioshock Infinite with
anyone it. Been playing anything new?
So, I mentioned before that I got in a car accident a week or so ago, and they gave me these pain pills.
I thought they gave you a video game for your...
So, have you been reenacting Max Payne?
Well, no, here's the thing. Apparently, sometime over the weekend or earlier in the week, I was on pain pills, I bought Resident Evil 6.
Didn't you own Resident Evil 6 at some point?
No, I rented it because I knew it was going to be bad, and for some reason I bought the game. So it's sitting behind me fully wrapped as I wonder what to do with it.
Now, I can understand this happening on Steam because, okay, sure, you get wasted on like painkillers or drugs or booze or whatever.
And you just go on Steam.
But you actually were so high, you went to a GameStop and bought games you can't remember.
No, I bought it from the Microsoft Store online.
Oh.
For some reason.
That's weird.
Yeah, I guess I saw it on Slick Deals.
You were super
high.
Like,
yeah, a little.
So I remember that game.
Yeah, I mean, next week is probably when I'm going to end up actually talking about it more. But this week I bought SSX and I've been playing that. And I don't like that game.
There are things that I liked, like, you know, that you could snowboard, and there were things that I didn't like that, you know, there was basically a stupid timer. And that's the point that it crashed my PS3 is once you get the oxygen mask.
Yeah, like, that's where I decided I don't like it.
That was pretty much the same for me. I was just like, this is a dumb mechanic.
You have to maintain oxygen. You have a limited amount that's done by a meter in the bottom right corner. And the higher up you are, supposedly the higher up you are, the more it drains. But I've never seen evidence of it draining less. So you have to hit and hold RB to get breathe into the mask, because why would that be automatic? Who needs oxygen automatically? And you do this while pressing all the other buttons and trying not
to
die.
Flip around. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the worst fucking mechanic.
It's a really bad mechanic.
Like, I can understand that mechanic being in like a Dead Space game. Okay. Yeah. Sure. You need to remember how to breathe because things are trying to kill in your outer space. But
right, and just the sole act of having to remember to hold something down makes sense in that game. But for an SSX
maintaining
game,
oxygen makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But like in a sports game, I never actually played any of the other SSX games. The only like extreme sports games, I guess you could say, I would play with like maybe Jet Grind Radio. Maybe that's in the same category. I don't know.
See, I would have loved SSX to have that level of personality, too.
Right.
Because I haven't played an SSX game either. But from what I understood of them, they were crazy, and there were rainbows and unicorns and shit.
Yeah, yeah. This SSX is like... Tricky, I want to say, is where the game peaked. I don't know about peaked. I still enjoyed this one, what I was able to, because, like I said, it was a new SSX game with super, you know, super red graphics and stuff, and there was the wingsuit. But I kind of miss, like, you know, there was like a stupid fucking shiny carnival with rails and pipes and shit.
I want to jump off a rail and then rainbows come out and everyone claps.
Yeah.
That would be great.
You should just go play SSX 2.
There's like a story about how, this guy was... This guy was our friend, and then he betrayed us, and now we're racing against him occasionally.
Betrayed on snowboards.
Yeah.
Isn't that like every single like EA sports or like racing game like storyline at the end of the day?
Probably.
With DJ Atomica.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
We should send Imran painkillers more often.
So I buy more shitty games.
You buy more shitty games. Yeah. Mattermark?
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I haven't played anything new. I was only able to carve out some time for Treasure Adventure Quest after, or Treasure Adventure game after, you know, getting home from California.
Yeah. Now, one thing you did do that I want to ask about, you rented a Corvette. Yeah. How is driving a, you know, of course your wife is in there, so you couldn't be crazy. How was driving a Corvette?
Well, my wife wasn't there, actually. It was just me.
Okay.
But no, it was a rental car, so I didn't drive it like a lunatic.
Right.
I stuck mostly to the speed limit-ish, which thankfully is 65 in San Diego, as opposed to 55 in most of New Jersey.
Right. You didn't, like, just open it up on, like, the Pacific Coast Highway and just, like, see what you can do with it, or just...
No, I was there for a wedding, so I didn't get much time out.
Right.
So I did take it up some of the mountain roads to the east while the sun was rising, so I got to see the sun rise over the mountains.
Oh, that'd be gorgeous. Okay.
Yeah. And then this is because I was still on East Coast time, so I was awake at 5 a.m. And then later in the morning, I took a ride up the coast from San Diego to Del Mar, which was pretty freaking beautiful.
Okay.
But the problem with the problem with San Diego to L.A. along the coast is that every 2 or 3 miles you hit a beach town that's just nonstop stop signs and traffic lights.
Yeah, because they're trying to get tickets, basically.
Well, it's that California, as far as I can tell, has no concept of traffic flow.
Mm-hmm.
See, New Jersey has a shit ton of traffic.
Right.
You will be on a road and there will be a dozen cars around you and everyone is 3 to 4 feet away from you at all times. But you're still going 65. And then you go out to California and the roads are more or less vacant, but you're hitting a stoplight every 5 blocks.
Right. And that just creates more pollution too, because you're standing in there so much longer.
And they're long stoplights too. Like, it's a good 2-minute cycle at every light. But, yeah.
How much gas does that thing eat up?
I got through about half a tank.
Okay.
All right, we're going to start a second podcast for you guys.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just want to hear more about this Corvette.
No, I know. We talked about it a bit before you graced us with your presence. Punch Quest.
So Punch Quest. Been playing Punch Quest. I've also been playing Sleepy Dogs because I finally remembered that I own Sleeping Dogs. Bought it off that $5 Steam glitch that came up for like 20 minutes a few weeks back.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I've been playing that. Just really super into Sleepy Dogs. Like I said, I'm enjoying it actually more than I did Saints Row the Third, because after a while, Saints Row the Third, it only has the crazy, and once you get like desensitized to the crazy, there's nothing really left. Mm-hmm. It's like after Deckers die, there's not really much further this game for me to go. You know, whereas like there's just so much stuff in Sleeping Dogs to do. Of course, I guess like every open world game is like that, where you try to like avoid the main quest as much as you possibly can. But it's this like, I'm just going around everywhere, just collecting as much of the stuff from Sleeping Dogs as I possibly can, because I'm just enthralled with this world.
That's cool.
My problem with Sleeping Dogs is I felt like I never really grasped it. Like I understood the basic mechanics. I survived all the fights and did well in a lot of them, but there was just like this one fucking gang hideout that I just, every time I go there, it would always end up, there'd be like 30 more guys than I'd expect.
Yeah. And they, some of them are like that. Like some of the gang hideouts, they would just constantly like throw dudes at you, and you don't realize until you look up at the screen and said, oh, 8 thugs left. I was like, well, there wasn't 8 thugs when I started this fight. Where the hell are these 8 thugs coming from? And just cars after cars of thugs coming after you.
And there's just like, there's one asshole with a gun that like every time you rush up to him, some other asshole gets in the way.
Yeah. And it's usually like an NPC. He's just hanging out. Say, hey, what's going on? Oh, I shot you in the head. My apologies.
So I never had a good grasp of like, am I understanding this game? Am I good at it? Or is this just really hard and I don't realize that?
Yeah, I think there's just random stuff that just happens in that game. I think it's kind of cool that the cops are fairly lenient in this game. Like, you can just like run past one, kick a dude in the spine, and keep on going. As long as you don't like kick like 2 people in the spine, they're fine. Yeah. Just don't be blatant about it. You know? Don't be a dick.
And speaking of games that hire voice actors for things that they don't really do, or they're not there that long, that game has Emma Stone for maybe 30 lines of dialogue.
Is that Jennifer, like the white chick you get to the temple?
Yep.
Wow.
And you don't recognize her as Emma Stone?
No, I had no idea.
She doesn't have a recognizable voice. So.
Why did they spend money on her? It's
so they could say you can date Emma Stone, I guess.
Was Jennifer Hale like not available that day? I'm pretty sure they could have got her. So yeah, I've been playing that. Also, I've been playing Punch Quest. That's finally out on Android. It's weird. It's like endless runners are kind of limited just by their very nature because you know you can't really stop them. They're like shoot 'em ups, only even more limited because you're going to die and you can't do anything about dying. You're going to die in 2 minutes. There's not really a lot of skill involved. It feels like an actual video game where it's like skill involved and there's like mechanics and stuff. I don't know how to reconcile that. If this is the future of like gaming on like tablets, then like if they can like perfect this vision, then it's like I might be okay with that.
Yeah, The Rock.
Have you played any of the BitTrip Runners?
I've not played any of the BitTrip Runners. I really should.
You should get those because those are very mechanic heavy.
Okay. And are they Endless Runners too, or?
They're not infinite. They're level based.
Okay. But they're on Android, right?
That I don't know. Maybe the first one. I don't think the second one's on any mobile devices.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it is on Steam.
Yeah. And also just great art style and music. So yeah, everyone should.
I've been raving about the Rocket Cat guys behind Punch Quest and the Hook games for a while now. They know their stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of have my qualms about them messing with the new pricing structure with kind of because it was initially free to play and with, you know, purchase coin. Yeah. With purchasable coins. And then they bumped up the price.
Oh,
you know, so I guess he was kind of experimenting, kind of testing the ground of how a game like this would fare for them.
Yeah, well, I don't play a lot of games on the Android because not a lot of like interesting games that I want are on it. But okay, they charge $1 for it, which is fine. But there's still freemium stuff inside of it. I just wonder, okay, at what point, like, if I like paid $10, would you just give me all the coins I ever needed? Like,
right? Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have been playing not a whole lot. It was my birthday weekend, like I said, so I haven't been playing. My brother got me the core set for Netrunner, which is a card game.
The core set, not the core set.
No, not the core set. No.
Okay.
No, but I also
that was confusing for a brief second.
But I also got a core set.
Okay.
And I haven't had a chance to delve into that, but with all the Magic I've been playing, I'm really looking forward to it. So there's that, and I've been playing God of Blades on my iPhone.
That sounds like the most generic title.
It's a pretty generic title, but it's pretty fun. It's like Punch Quest. There are levels. It is level based, but there's also an endless version, endless runner component of it, and it's mechanic based. The presentation is super slick, and you get bonus stuff for being at libraries, which I thought was pretty neat. Yep. So that's about it for me.
And that's also actually on Android as well. So
yeah, you should check it out. It's yeah, I think you'd like it. That's it.
Yep.
Go play Treasure Adventure game. It's free. Yep.
Go play it,
and we'll update with our IBC whenever we figure it out.
Word.
All right.
Choose wisely, Mark.
Choose wisely. And actually, there is no Blade of God video game. Just look that up. So
coming
somebody
soon.
Should jump on that.
Yeah. Coming soon from Nitro Beard Games.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.